Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving. Mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love him. I love his. It's a privilege to be guided by the Holy Spirit into all truth. And I want all that I can receive that I may do what's in God's heart. I ended yesterday's broadcast talking about confessions of how I use confessions to rudder my life, because James said that our tongue is just like the rudder of a ship. Before I do anything, I speak it. Well, you know, in most cases, especially when it comes to things of God. Now, I got a protocol. One of my protocols is, once God reveals something for me to do, I jump on board with it and I speak it in the direction that he wants it to go. Now, some people do it different ways, but I don't trust myself to do the precision instructions that God gives. And a lot of people think they don't, instead of them thinking receiving God's word as a precision thing to do, a precise and something that's well thought out, well planned out, already by the Holy Spirit, they look at it as optional. And that's the problem. And these are people that know the word, have operated in the word, operated by faith. But if it's optional, then they feel like, well, I don't really have to do it that way. I can do it my way. That's where they get off. That's where they mess up. That's where the train wrecks begin. And sometimes, and it seems like it's all right, because the life that they have don't change much. The problem is they never see what will happen if they do what God say do. If you follow through, surgery happens. Sometimes it's surgery. One of the scriptures in, it's either Isaiah or Jeremiah, the Lord said that he would drive out. Now, he's talking about the internal enemies. He was going to, what he was saying was he was going to do away with, drive out the internal enemies. It's one thing to win a war, you know, country against country. Okay, you know your people, you know their people. Some people are strangers in both countries, but they talk different, or they dress different, or they seem different. Or they may not, if you catch one, they don't know the citizens, you know, they don't know what the citizens would know. So it's easier to fight country against country than it is internal enemies. Internal enemies, that's the hardest kind of warfare to fight, because, everybody, you're talking about enemies that's up close and personal, that know you. Now, these are the kind of enemies that God would drive out. Well, sometimes it's necessary, because tares are mingled with the wheat. In order for God to go forward, he has to do surgery. And when pastors are supposed to, or anybody that's doing God's word, when they're supposed to preach what God say, that's going to cause surgery to happen. And the Lord does this. But people, they do things, they try to hold on to people that God is allowing to leave. When surgery happens, it's necessary. Whatever God do is necessary. And things must be done right. Now, people don't always see it. They don't always look at it the same way. They don't always have the same opinions. But that's where going in the Lord's presence comes in. When you go in his presence and get his mind, and you know, you get an understanding of what he wants from you, and you're communing with him, that's the only way you're going to do what's necessary. Sometimes you have to tell people things that's a blessing. Sometimes things that, so that they can repent. And people who give words, people who are prophetic, We like to give people the good side words, but it's just as important and sometimes more important to give people the rebuke or words that will help pull them out of danger, out of the fire. And you know, my pastor talked about moods of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there's a teaching mood, sometimes there's a rebuking mood. Whatever he wants to do, you got to jump on board and then. That's the only way it's going to work. Now, if you don't believe me, and I understand when people don't, but if you go back and study, every time Israel got in idolatry, the Lord would raise up a man. And these are things that you're going to find to be common. They got rid of the people that he would raise up. They were part of the remnant. They were always part of the remnant that did not bow their knee to Baal. And the Lord found the most dedicated one that would follow through with whatever he said do. And then whatever they had around them that wasn't right, they had to drive it out of their path. They had to get rid of it. A good example is Gideon. He had to turn over his father's idols before God went any further. And some people are not turning over their daddy's idols. And we talked about yesterday how you have to break through your own barriers, and then the barrier of your country, the barrier of your people, and the barriers of your siblings, your father's house. You got to cut ties with the culture that is anti-Christ or lukewarm, or the things that hold you back, the doubts, the unbelief that you've picked up along the way. If you walk through the rain or drizzle and you go in your dry house, you're going to have a residue of that rain on you. If that was a giant bubble and that surrounded you and you walked through it, you'd have a residue of soap on your body. Well, if you break through a barrier, there's a residue there too. And in order for you not to be contaminated by it, you have to leave it or drive it out of you. Now, when Abraham was in Canaan land, you know, we gave the example. After 10 years, he went along with Sarah's idea to have a child with his concubine, which is not something that Abraham would have done 10 years prior. Now, when you're around something, if you had to work in Congress, for instance, and there's a lot of bitterness there, it's like a snake pit. Sorry to say that, but that's what it's like. If you're around it too long, it will rub off on you. You have to leave that place and go in God's presence, and you have to continually hear the word of God in order to shear your heart from that foolishness and the bitterness and the animosity and the people that want to do wrong. President Trump said the truth. He said he's going to drain the swamp. It's a swamp, and it's not just one party. It's not a one party swamp. It's an every party swamp. And it goes, you know, it's just like the church. The church is no different. There are people, there are tares among the wheat. Satan sent his people in there, and sometimes they're the pastor. So God knows everything. He makes, when a crisis happens, he gets rid of the junk. He's not going to use unclean people to do a clean work. He's not going to use... When he does something, he does it right. He people that will look to Christ, that's who he wants. And he's not going to, when he's using his people to do his work, his holy work, he wants something he can put his stamp of approval on. And God can't put his stamp of approval on most of the things people are already doing in his name, because they're doing it without his guidance. Jesus said plainly, he said, if I abide in you and you abide in me, you'll ask what you will. And he also made it plain that without abiding in the vine, you can bear no fruit. This is why people are not bearing fruit. And the ideas, the things that they should be alerted to, they're dull and they don't see it. You go to almost any church and give people a good idea. Most of the time, they don't see it. Sometimes they have the talent already in place. That there are so many things that we could, as Christians, could be doing. But people have, they serve God with excuses. What if people went in prayer? Now, I tell I'm going to use musicians for an example, because a lot of them want to be in full-time ministry, some more than others. Some gave up on that idea. They don't want to do concerts, and I understand that. But writing anointed songs, and you don't have to do a concert. If you have a band and you play good music, and why not put out an album? I mean, and let other people hear. You have the technology, and that same anointing that fills your room can go other places. And some people break through and do it, and most people don't. Now, I tell musicians that they want to make a career. They want their career to be serving God with music. Fine. Okay. Prayer room. Go in the prayer room. Go in God's presence. He's going to give you songs and do them. They will not do it. I know some anointed musicians that will not do that. Now, some will do it, but they don't have the finances and they don't know how to market. Well, there are people that can. You may have to, if you're going to do something for God and you're waiting on people to help you, if you're really going to do it, you're going to have to do it yourself these days. Now, it's not always that way among all people. Some people are different. Some people will invest in you and help you sincerely. Most people are not going to do that. So what you have to do, you can always ask. You know, they're not going to do it if you don't ask. But if you're really going to pull something off of God, you may have to work two jobs for half a decade and get some money saved aside just for that and ask God to bless it, sow seeds toward it. But in the meantime, you're in the prayer room, you're in the Word, you're receiving what God wants to say, especially if He called you to this. But if He didn't call you to this and you want to do it, present it to the Lord and present yourself a living sacrifice. And I promise you, whatever God tells you to do, you're going to be so happy you did it. And it's going, and the reason that it'll challenge you is because you've never been there before. So the road that you're going to have to take, you've never been there before. But if God led you there, I know God this way. He evaluates everything. He considers everything. He prepares you for what's ahead. And He also is with you to fulfill a need. Now, your ideas and your minds, put them aside and receive His. And yours will not be lost. Now, everybody I know that put God first, He don't leave no joy out of their life. That's just the way it is. You cannot put God first in your life and the things that you greatly desire go undone. It don't happen. Just like the opposite is true. People that get rich and not by right. I was telling the guy yesterday. Everybody that get money the wrong way, they always leave it. That money always leaves their life. The value of that money always, 100% of the time, without fail. The word of God cannot be broken. Jeremiah 17:11 said it. Job chapter 15 said it. Jeremiah 17:11 says, any man, as a partridge, sit on the eggs and hatches them not. So is any man that get riches and not by right, he'll leave it in the midst of his days, and at his end will be a fool. The money would do him no good. And I've seen this situation replay so many times throughout my life. Nobody ever robs a bank, get away, and live happily ever after. That money is a curse. It causes more trouble. They'll spend it up trying to hide and still get caught. Or they may even die in the process. That money is going to bring whatever amount it is, it's going to bring that much trouble with it in your life. So you present yourself a living sacrifice to God, then the Lord has something to work with and he will help you. You have him, you have his winds in your sails, and you're going to succeed his way, not yours, but it's going to be better than what you would have done. It's going to be more thought out and you'll bear more fruit doing it God's way. You're connected to it, you're connected to the branch by the vine. You're connected to the head. Jesus is the body. We're the body of Christ. He's the head. If we're connected and we're in obedience, when I want to pick something off my table with my right arm, my arm don't start an argument. If it did, I wouldn't get no work done. If I need a 10 millimeter wrench on the car I'm about to work on, and my arm say, I don't want to get the 10, I want to get the 11, I wouldn't get nothing done that day. I could have stayed in bed. This is what the body has been doing to Jesus from the time the apostles died. It was their custom to remain connected to the head. You know, even just like Pastor Jim was talking about Sunday, doubting Thomas. Thomas did not stay a doubting man. He doubted one time, but he got over that, and he became a wonderful man of God. I even wrote a poem about that, saying, be like Peter, not like Thomas. It was a rhyme, you know, years ago. The statement was a true statement for what it was. In other words, be bold in faith. Get out of the boat. Walk on the water. Don't sit back in doubt. But Thomas didn't stay there. He moved along, just like we do. If somebody say, yeah, I know Thurston. And some people can say, well, I knew him such and such year. I knew him this year. You know, what chapter are they talking about? Because in the course of my life, I've done all kind of stuff. I've said all kind of things. So what chapter are we talking about here? We move along. We grow from glory to glory. And we go forward. But when we're connected to the head, when we're abiding in the vine, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing's impossible no more. Failure is not a possibility as you follow God. You cannot fail following God, especially if you drive out the things that hold you back. But if you pay attention to the protocols and watch the consistency, every time God raised up somebody to help Israel, they're dedicated. They're sincere. They love the people. They love the cause of God. They love the word of God. They're in obedience. And they're connected to God's will. And they do what God say do. And everything that's a hindrance, they drive it out. Some more than others. But they get the job done. And then they be whatever they was going to be in the first place. But while they were activated, they do what God said do. Even Jehu, he did everything God told him to do. Then he went and acted like the kings. Now, he did that later on. And, you know, it's people. If you follow God, stick with him. Don't do like Jehu did and go back. If you doubt, do like Thomas and believe, and don't ever go back to doubt. It's not that complicated, especially if God is with you. So to secure my steps, I don't trust Thurston to do what God wanted him to do, but you have to go back to James chapter 3. Your tongue, what you say, will shape the way you do things. It will steer your life the way it's supposed to go. Listen to James chapter 3. He said, my brethren, be not men and masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man,
enable also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and when we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very, very small helm, whithersoever the governor listed. I'm going to read four again. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Wherever the captain wants to go, he turned that helm, he turned the rudder, and the whole ship in a fierce storm goes the direction it should go. So the way I secure the will of God, I receive it and embrace it, and I speak it, I bless it, I say that I will do all that's in his heart. I will not fail. Everything that's like Satan's got to go. All doubt and unbelief got to go. I drive it out of my heart and fill my heart with the word. All fear's got to go. And I do the protocol of God. I love people, and there's no fear in love. So since there's no fear, I'm not afraid of what I don't. I'm not afraid to go down the road with God that I've never gone down before. And these confessions help. My latest confession is this. No doubt can exist in my being. I'm driving it out. I'm doing something about any forms of residue doubt that could be there and I don't know it. And I do the same thing for everything else. But this is a time I need to believe what God has given me and do it. We can become skilled in the Word of God. We can, you know, the first part, James said, brother, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, I don't make myself a master on the outside of being connected to, I'm trying to say it this way. I'm not a master unless I'm connected to Christ. You can be connected to Christ. You can be in the bubble of obedience with perfect intentions and not be a master. Not be fully skilled. But you can still get something done. The reason I dedicate myself, I want to be a master in Him. I don't want to remain unskilled in the things of God. I want to become, hear me good, and please understand, I want to master what I'm supposed to be doing. I want to be so dedicated that I cannot fail. I want to understand it like God understands it. See, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not wrong to have Jesus as your protocol. I want to be just like Him. He was perfect in His Father's eyes. He was fully dedicated to all that God wanted to do. And then, now, as I enter in, I might be a little sloppy, but I don't want to stay sloppy. Let's do this. I want to grab Him by the hand. Let's do this. And I want to follow Him close. And I want to become a master. But I never want to be a master on the outside of being connected to His mind. I want to be a master as I abide in the vine. I don't want to say, well, hey, I've been walking with the Lord 40 years. I think I got this. I don't want to be that guy. Because they always mess up. Always. James said, be not many masters. But in Him, yes. I'm not at liberty to tell people anything. I don't want to be a loose cannon. I don't want to Because Jesus put it this way. He said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. And I do not want to scatter God's people. It's enough of that foolishness going on. And I don't have enough sense to do it without being connected to the vine. But I do want to grow. And I do want to be strong in him. I don't want to live the rest of my days with little faith. But you can still get something done with little faith. But I don't want to stay there either. I want to master this. Everything the Lord taught me, I always ask him to help me master it. And there are many things I haven't gotten to yet. I do the things that's most important first. Some things I know I've not mastered yet. You know, one of them, healing. Now I pray over my body and I get healed. But when my pastor is anointed, and when the anointing is on him to heal, anything that I have a problem, I'm running up there to get healed. If there's somebody I know, I'll run up there and let him lay hands on me, and I go lay hands on them because I respect the anointing that's on him. God wants us to pay attention. Now, if I studied and rehearsed healing like I do other things, I would become a master in that. But you know, you only have so many hours in the day. And the things that God gave me to do, that's where I dig in. There's a lot of things that I want to get to, but I'll get to it when I get to it. But the things that God tell me to do, that's the big rocks. You know, the college professor said he had rock, sand, gravel, and water. And he said, how can you get all this in the bottle, in this jar, in a pickle jar? And then he put the rocks in first. Then he put gravel in and shook it down. Then he put sand in. And then he asked the students, is it full? They said, this full looks full to me. And then he poured water in it. And then it was full. But if he put the water in first, then the rocks, then the sand, you know, it would have been all messed up. But he got more in it doing it the right way. So you got to put the big rocks in first. We're running out of time. People need the anointing that's on our life. We need to be doing what pertains to life and godliness in Christ. Whatever God guides you to do, don't let it go undone. And get rid of stuff that's not right. And the advice of others that's not right. You know, when you do warfare, you have to get rid of what's holding you back. Now, going back to, you know, we just read verse 4. Behold, the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they turn about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor or captain wants to go. Verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. So don't be wasteful with words. Don't be so fast to say things. That's what he's saying. Because you can say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and it can cause a rift in the church, it can cause problems, it can cause people not to trust people that should trust people. And I don't want to be that guy. I want to do it God's way. I wrote a poem one time, well, God gave me a living letter, really. A living letter is greater than a poem. It's not just a poem. It's a word from the Lord. But he gave me a living letter saying, doing what blesses only. And I adopted that. You know, I still seek to master that. Doing what blesses only. I don't want to do anything that's corrupt. And through Christ, I can do it. He said, after verse 5, verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. I don't want my tongue to agree with hell and burn up my future. The Lord taught me something about sowing and reaping, spiritual wealth and spiritual debt. Every time you do something, it begins a process that don't stop. Good or bad, positive or negative. Everything you do, it begins a process. Every day you do something, it begins a process. It either contributes to what God is doing, or it's a hindrance and it contributes to what Satan.